I believe God dealt with my heart, and I went back to it, and I want to talk to you from the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22. I want to read to you verse number 30. I think my brother Paul was where I preached this message, and so he knows the proper place to say amen. And most of what I preach to you in a camp meeting or a revival, I have already preached to Bond. I preach to them. I do not preach anything to you that I have not preached to them. In fact, that's my first obligation to them. And so the Bible says here, and I sought for a man among them that should take up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. If the Lord will stand by me tonight, we will go in several other places, but we're going to start here. And this is the last call. This is the last call for a judgment-bound congregation. This is the last searching before God pours out judgment. God would rather operate in mercy, but he is a God of righteousness. If you would, stretch your hands out and let's pray again. Father, we love you tonight. I thank you for the privilege of being here in this place among these people, partly because of the kind invitation of Brother Alvin Toffel in this great congregation, but more so, God, tonight I'm here because that I am indebted to you. And so woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel tonight. Again, Lord, I pray not for limelight or applaudance, but I pray for that anointing that somehow transforms a man and makes him a prophet in the sense of the New Testament. Lord, I ask only that at the conclusion of these broken remarks that you would beat us upon these altars. And there, Lord, that you would deal with us after children. We'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And the congregation said, amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. In this whole chapter, God has talked to his prophet, and he's told him that the priesthood, the prophet, the preacher, the congregation, and the singer have seemingly entered into a conspiracy that they don't want to hear what God's saying. And I'm sure you'll agree with me tonight that America is facing the greatest crisis of her life. We are in a critical hour. Things that are working now are determining whether we will continue as an independent nation in the world. The whole world is screaming for America to throw away all the principles that we so lovingly fought and sacrificed and died for and become part of the community. Amen. All the things that we have held sacred that the world no longer believes and some never did, they're saying cast them away. Amen. And if America does not have a revival of old time gospel proportions and have it now, I fear for what we're facing. Amen. The trend of the times must be met and can only be met by one thing. When Paul looked at the political war machine of his day and he looked at Rome and he said to Rome, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm sad to say in the hour we're living in, many have got ashamed of it. But this word of God, the trend of the times, must be met by the anointed word of God. The only hope we have in America and the world is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, preached under the power and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. The fiercest struggle
that has been waged since man was thrown out of Eden is being fought right now between righteousness and ungodliness. Amen. There has never been a time when right and wrong is engaged in such a fight. I thought I felt him breathe on me. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Christianity must turn back to Christ-like living. Amen. There must be a detrimental difference, a fundamental difference between us and them. Amen. Oh, preacher, have you ever felt a time when the pressure is on you to compromise, to back up? Church, I'm going to tell you something. The only thing that God has ever promised to bless is holiness. Amen. And when we back up on the fundamentals of the faith, there you see the same spirit that's moving on the world to amalgamate and to integrate and to all forget all of these other things is moving in the church today. And the poor old pitiful pastor is under pressure on every side to back up, to let down, to take away from the things that we've always accepted in the whole of this movement. Hey, amen. I find churches today that 10 years ago shouted me down when I preached like I'm going to preach you tonight. But now they go deathly quiet. Oh, if there's ever a day when we need an Ezekiel, and like Ezekiel of old, we are standing with a tremendous responsibility, we must show to the church today the actual conditions that are existing among us. We have whistled in the dark. We have learned how to worship. We have adopted the charismatic sway. We've learned the blab it and grab it prosperity preaching. We've found out how to make them. But I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, amen, there's this one thing we got to have. Amen. We got to come lifting up our voice and telling this world that we're living in. Amen. We've got one hope, one chance, one last shot at it. And that's with Zion prevailing and returning and going back to the things that brought us out in the beginning. Hey, amen. If it was a sin in grandma's day, it's still sin in this amen electronic age that me and you are living in. I told some of my people the other night, Brother Paul, I said, don't take my meekness for weakness. Don't think that the old man has slipped. I have cleaned my guns and I've reloaded my ammunition and I've drawn a line and the devil ain't taken one more inch away from us. Amen. We're set around trembling, afraid if we breathe, somebody's children's going to get mad. Listen, we ain't losing them because we've made it too hard. We're losing them because we've made it too easy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time we cause a people to realize that in many places today, the very lifestyle of us that call ourselves Christian is an insult to the God of heaven. Amen. If a brush native can pray through in darkest Africa and look at that sister and say, give us of your clothes to cover our nakedness. What's the matter with us? Amen. We're supposed to be saved and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. Amen. And there's not something about, amen, the third day that I prayed through. Amen. I got rid of my short-legged breeches. Amen. The day I prayed through, I emptied out some things. Amen. We ought not have to preach, but you know why? Because we have compromised. Amen. We've let it down. We're afraid to tell them the truth. We must cause the people to understand that there is a difference. Many churches that I preached in 10 years ago, Brother Paul Blanton, are nothing more than a social club tonight. We spend more money in the hour we're living in. We spend more money on amusement than we do on missions. You know, this economic squeeze we're in might not be the worst thing that ever happened to the Holiness Church. It might make us to realize. I asked one preacher, I said, preacher, how did you all handle the jewelry and the worldliness that came into church? He said, my God, son, what are you talking about? He said, we couldn't hardly buy soup beans, let alone jewelry. Said, it wasn't a problem in those days. Said, we prayed about what we had to eat the next meal. Amen. We didn't worry about where they was going. They couldn't afford to go, amen, to the carnival or the county fair. But as we become more rich and increase with goods and saying we've had need of nothing, amen, we may not plan our vacation and bring our children to camp meeting, but we'll take them to every ungodly place in the world and wonder why then they don't have any interest in getting in and worshiping God. Well, this might not be what you expected in a camp meeting, but I come to preach to me and you tonight. It's crisis time. It's the last call. We've got too many Playboy preachers preaching a Hollywood version of holiness. Man has enabled to conquer space, to make contact with the moon, to circle the sun, to live in the depths of an ocean. And yet we have not learned how to build a home. For a fancy house is not a home. A place where mama and dad, one little boy was asked, son, what is your definition of home? He said, it's a place where mom and dad fuss and fight and my big brother beats me up. That's home. My God, but at the hour we're living in, it's a time when mama works one shift and daddy works another shift to make money, amen, to buy things that they don't need to impress people they don't like, amen, just to keep up with somebody else. Hey man, we'll plan us a trip somewhere. We'll spend $5,000, amen, to go see a hole, amen, called the Grand Canyon or the waterfalls of the Niagara. But we wouldn't spend $500, amen, to get somebody to camp meeting where they can hear an old-time Holy Ghost feel man of God preach the gospel. And we wonder why we're not having revival. We're not having revival because we don't want revival. We are content to live without it. Our children don't believe the Lord's coming back because we don't believe it. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Home. One young lady came to our house to talk to my wife and me. And her family were the upper crust. You know, she had all the things and stuff of the world. But she just sick on the inside. Brother Bobby, she sat there on our couch and with her arms wrapped around her half-naked body. And she rocked back and forth like a child. And she said, it feels good here. It feels good here. In a little old trailer house. Didn't have running water in it. Didn't have nothing there to offer, but it feels good here. You know why it felt good there? Amen. Because the love of God was there. A mama and daddy was there. Oh, great God, help me tonight. I remember when that boy of mine was born. Back in them days, it wasn't like it is now. Amen. You couldn't even get where he's at for a day or two. I looked through the glass at him there. I said, son, I ain't got enough money to pay your bill and get you out of here. I ain't but an old time Holy Ghost Bible preacher's all I am, son. You may not ever have the pretty things the world's got, but there's one thing you'll have I didn't have. You'll never wake up with your daddy cussing and breaking and kicking and tearing down the furniture, but you'll wake up to a mama praying and a daddy shouting and a worshiping God. You'll wake up in a home. Amen. Hey, no, he didn't have a television, but I tell what he had. He had a tape recorder with L.D. Moore preaching to him every night till he grew up. Amen. And knew more about L.D. than L.D. stories. Yourself. Deprived him of all these worldly things. He didn't have a four-wheeler. He didn't have a television. He didn't have a boom box. But he had a mama that would get up every morning and get him up and pray over him. And pray over him. And pray over him. Amen. He had a mama. Sometimes he'd come running out of the back room where he was playing. That's where the commotion was. And she's in there washing dishes. Amen. Soap suds to her elbows. I feel the Holy Ghost trying to help me. Amen. All of a sudden, somebody come on the radio and she had thrown her hands up and got to praising God. Oh, have you ever seen a time when folks are so restless? So nothing satisfies. But could I tell you tonight, unless we as parents are willing to become what God ordained us to be, amen, it ain't no wonder that Sodom has walked out on the streets of America. Because it ain't no wonder we got so many sissified boys when we ain't got men that know how to be men. Amen. We need they don't need a paycheck, daddy. They need a daddy. You ever seen a time when we got a bunch of men that'll work? They don't care to work. They'll work all week long, bring their paycheck in, throw it down for their wife to worry about the bills over. Just give me enough money to play with this way. Make sure I got my play money so I can have my toys. And that's all I'm interested in. But don't bother me with the bills. Don't bother me with worrying about whether they got money to pay the bills or not. Mama makes the decisions. All they see you's on the weekend as you're going out to do something that you ain't got no business doing no how. Amen. If we'd come back and say, amen, like the old man did, we're going back to the Father's house. We're going back to Bethel. You're going to get rid of your Babylonian garments? Religion was once the motivating force that guided this nation. Do you realize we have sat back quiet? I don't know about you, but I am ready for a revival or a riot. And we may have both. But I'm not giving up one more thing. I'm not going to lay down and listen while some Muslim comes from a foreign country and tells me whether I got a right to offend him about my praying or not. But we got a bunch of lying people, amen, trying to change the history of our history books in our schools. And then they're going to tell me I have to send them to that place to start with. Amen. We were founded upon the Bible. Amen. This country becomes strong because we were founded upon the principles of the Word of Almighty God. But we have thrown God out of government, expelled him from school. That horrible tragedy, those boys killing in those schools. Somebody fired on that internet and said, where was God when that happened? Somebody fired back and said, you expelled him from school. That's why he wasn't there. Amen. Amen. They throw God out of school, take down the Ten Commandments. Amen. Leave no moral direction for our kids and wonder why the world's going to hell pell mell. Amen. I believe it's time we go back. I believe it's time we take it back. I believe it's time we stand up and say, amen, God, give me a man. In the second chapter, in the third chapter, when God's talking to Ezekiel and giving him his call, he said, I'm going to make you. He said, I am going to make your face. Behold, thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. And as an adamant harder than a flint, I've made your forehead. Fear them not. I'll tell you what we need right now. We need a few hard-headed preachers. Amen. Preaching a hard-hitting message to a hard-hearted congregation. Amen. Somebody's not afraid to do it. God, help us right now. Religion was motivated in everything, but now most of our churches have learned how to have church without the Holy Ghost. We're talented. We've got our talent. We've got our ability. We've got our well-lined bookshelves. But where, oh where, is the anointing of the Holy Ghost that used to fall out among us in spontaneity? Oh, God. Oh, God. Most of our churches now are preaching doctrines that are an insult to heaven. I sat last night, had the recounting of a wedding that took place in a quote-unquote Pentecostal church. And the worst thing about it was, Brother Savage, that they used to be my young people. They grew up in a holiness church. Hey, man, they grew up when I was as wild as I've mellowed out. Really, I have. And yet, when their daughter gets married, they throw all the plug out. They dress like an ungodly bunch of heathens. They play bongo kind of music down the aisle. They come dancing. Dad and girl comes dancing down the aisle in their ungodly dress. Him supposed to be a Pentecostal preacher. I'm telling you, it's a wonder that Ann looked at me when she heard that description. It's a monster. My God, it's a wonder he didn't strike them dead right there. It's an insult to God Almighty when women come walking into the church in a pair of breeches. Hello? One man rode his motorcycle up on the pulpit in his muscle shirt, said, God told me to come and show you folks that they wasn't nothing to all those outward standards. But I'll tell you what the difference is. My wife and I walking into the hospital a few days ago. Now, I was just dressed in old blue jeans and a shirt that was comfortable. But I am with that holiness hairdo. We walk into the emergency room. All of a sudden, I heard somebody say, hey. I looked around. This poor old pitiful woman was laying with her head out the car door. She said, are you praying people? I said, you look like praying people. I said, yes, ma'am, we are praying people. I said, I'm a Holy Ghost preacher, man. And she said, would you come over here and pray for me? I'm sick. And she's going to tell us her story. Hey, amen. I'm going to tell you something. It does make a difference what you look like when you go down to Walmart. Amen. But when we back it up on the street, they bring it into the house of God. They've changed partners like they've changed overcoats in the house of God. Adultery, amen, fornication, and divorce was our big problem until we got quiet on it, until the pressure got on us. Well, I'd like for you to help me preach if you would, but I come to preach to you anyway. But we backed up on that until now. Amen, they're bringing their homosexual partners into our churches. Amen, I'm going to tell you something. It's not an alternate arts lifestyle. I realize, Mr. Obama, that I'm about to violate, amen, your law, but God called them sodomites, and that's what I call them. Amen. And there is no. Can you imagine how far you had to get? You didn't even consider whether you had to vote on that or not. God help me. We've come to the place that there's more quote unquote church members and places of worldly entertainment on any given Sunday night than they are in church. Pentecostal churches across America, brother, are closing their Sunday night services because they can't get a crowd. But go on down to the place of amusement. Somebody told me, Brother Alvin, that Dollywood had now become one of the main attractions for a lot of us Pentecostal people because the Quartet Hall of Fame is in Dollywood now. And they begin to try to tell me how, listen, I have to go to Walmart and I have to put up with some nastiness while I'm there just to get my groceries or Kroger or wherever you want to go. But I don't have to go. I don't have to go to Dollywood. And I don't care if they call it Dollywood or Hollywood. It's got the same ring to me. It's the same abominable thing that built out of there. Amen. Don't tell me, amen, that we got to have somebody that's had 14 different husbands. Amen. To tell me. And I'm going to tell you something about these singing groups. Amen. I want you to understand tonight. Amen. I do not believe in having singing groups and you going to them. I don't care who they are. Hey man, we couldn't get a support here at all, but announce a singing somewhere. Oh, you know that they're just entertainers. You know they ain't putting on a show, but your children don't know it. They'll see her up there janking around with her earbobs a-dingling. Hey man, her paint on her face and talking about the Spirit of God. And your daughter will go home and say, if she can do it, I can. I don't know where it's at. I don't know where it's at. But we all know the hymn lines are coming back up everywhere. Somebody told me the other night, Brother Alvin said that some Pentecostal girls, because at one point in time, I guess, the standard was 4 inches below the knee. So they were standing up, measuring 4 inches below the knee and cutting their dresses off. What they didn't understand was when that was the standard, it was 4 inches below your knee when you're sitting down. And now, and you name something about it, and Mama looks. Well, I didn't even realize that. My God, Mama, who bought it? Who bought it? Dad, where was you at when you let your little girl parade out the front door? Amen. Well, I don't know if this is camp meeting preaching or not, but God's been dealing my heart for about 4 or 5 weeks. Now, I told Ann, I said, it's probably my last circle around. Amen. Because they loved it when I was doing the rest of it. And I said, God, they're still hurting. He said, you preach the wholeness. I'll do the healing. And so here we go. Amen. I want you to know, amen, your pastor, hang on to it. I don't care who's backing up. I don't care who's pushing you up. Amen. Back here. Go back Sunday morning, scry your shoulders and say, I'm not taking it back. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh God. Oh God. What? Said they, you know, they took their Christmas party at the Dixie Stampede. I said something about it, and they said, well, you don't understand what it is. I said, you ain't never been inside it, have you? I said, no, sir. By the grace of God, I ain't going. But I said, listen, the billboard, as I drive down the main street, the billboard's enough to make me blush. There's no way you can justify. You must have been there, because all of a sudden you got quiet. Well, if you have, repent and don't ever go back. But don't tell me. Don't come and tell me after church there ain't nothing wrong with it. You make me sick and I might throw up on you. Amen. That's like kind of telling me that Christian TV is all right. They ain't no such thing as a Christian TV. Amen. There ain't no such thing as that animal ain't there. What can we do? God said, Ezekiel, I sought for a man. God in this hour is looking for a man. But not just any man. but a man that is sold out. You know, how do you stop a man when you can't buy him and you can't threaten him? You can't stop him. Paul had already been offered the priesthood and said, no, thank you. All this education and learning and all that goes with that, done. They'd done stoned him and left him for dead. And he saw visions of places I can't even talk about. Amen. And so you going to threaten me with death? I said, it's like an old fellow over yonder crawling that car with Lewis Dalton. He stopped trying to fill up with gas. Most of you probably don't know him in Indiana. Out in Park, Oklahoma, some of you probably knew about him. But he was getting gas. But when he got back in his car, this old fella had a big old pistol and jumped in there and said, just drive. And he began to look around at him. And he got trying to talk to him, and that guy's trying to threaten him. Don't tell him what you're going to do and all that. And Brother Dalton said, you know, it's a hard job to threaten a man with heaven. I'm an old-time Pentecostal holiness preacher. Amen. And all my life I've been worried about going to heaven. You know what? It wouldn't be right for me to let you out of this car. I got the gun. He said, it would just be right for me to turn you loose. So I told him what I'm going to do. So you see that bridge about my way up yonder? He said, when we get there, I'm going to be running 100 miles an hour. And said, I'm going to cut this car into it, and I'm going to heaven. You know where you're going? He said, you're crazy. I'll shoot. He said, go ahead. I'm running 90 now. Here we go. You crazy. I know somebody like you. Oh, God, help me. He said, if you'll stop this car, I promise you, I won't never. He took the window down and threw the gun as far as he could. I won't never bother nobody. Just let me out of this car. How are you going to stop a man? Amen. His soul that God's looking for somebody. Amen. Who won't sell out? He can't be prayed out. Amen. You can't back him up. When you got a man like that, you stop him. The Bible said Elijah was a man. 5 minutes before he walked off of the desert and into the palace, nobody ever heard of him. And 5 minutes after he left, Israel, there's a prophet in the land again. We need a man. I sought for a man. Give me a man. Oh, God. The church today is teetering on bankruptcy because we've exchanged reformation for regeneration. 1 John chapter 2 said, little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But in the revised version of today's church is, I write unto you that you sin less. Sin not. But come here now. I seen that bumper sticker and they thought they were slick when they wrote it. Said, I ain't what I ought to be, but I ain't what I was. Well, what is you? Just exactly what are you? Amen. And if you're not what you ought to be, what's it going to take to get you to be what you ought to be? Amen. What beside the blood? Amen. What beside the sanctified influence of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Reformation. I know that but Brother Gabbard, we got to. I know that. And I think you know I preach that. I know you've got to catch a fish before you clean it. But if you let it lay around very long, he'll stink everything around it. Amen. And I got some people that I hurt their little feelings. I had some of my backsliders that had been raised under my preaching. Brother Evan, that knew the standard that their old pastor preached under. And they decided to come to church and get on the back seat with their scraggly little hairdos, their little tattoos and half shirts, tore breeches that I was ashamed to wear when I was a poor boy.
And I told them, I said, if you want to get saved, you get ready, you know how to get saved. You know what it takes to be saved. But don't you come in here and flaunt that ungodly world in front of my young girls that's trying to live good. Well, I felt a cold breeze on that. Well, blow on. Blow on. Amen. If you know better. Amen. Now, if you, listen, I put up with anything as long as you're coming my way. As long as you're coming our way, I don't care. Come right on. Come any way you can. Come any way. Come with all that you got loaded up on you. And we'll get right up on the top of that and pray it through with you. But, brother, when we know better, amen, when you want to come back and flaunt it in front of somebody else, when you want to leave your sweet little wife, amen, and go out and find you something out yonder, and then come waltzing back in and say, we were backslid then, we're going to get saved now. And I know where I'm at, and I'm in deep water, but I'm awaiting on it anyway. When the prodigal son come home, when he crawled out of the pig pen, he left all the pigs and the old sow right where they're at and come on back home. Amen. It's time we come on back home. Amen. Straighten her up. My God, son, when you pray through tonight, amen, you've been shacking up. I don't care how long you've been shacking up. You'll sleep in the car tonight, amen, or somewhere else. If not one more time, that's not reformation, my friend, regeneration. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. But we've got culture, and we've lost conviction. We've got the gold, but where's God? We're satisfied now just with benevolence instead of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad for all those that want to feed the hungry, that want to get involved in the social gospel. I'm glad of all that, but none of that saves. None of that saves. Amen. A rice Christian, amen, will go to a green bean if he can better himself. It takes the blood. And every one of us is going to come the same way. But we've got our programs, but where's the power of God? I got to hurry. I don't know how long I've been preaching. You ain't got a clock. You may hang one tomorrow night. Maybe. And I sought for a man. Is, church, are we so bankrupt that we don't have one man, one Elijah, who will bring a message that will call a nation back to her knees? Not one man of faith who faith will rise above the times? Brother Brent, is he going to have to go outside of this wonderful independent work and save somebody off the street and let them read that old Bible? And all of a sudden, make us wonder why we've been playing church all these years. God said, I sought for a man among that corrupt priesthood, among all those laity members, among all those prophets, among all those in Israel, just one man who would steal. Say, I don't care. I preached one time on the 401st prophet. Oh, Ahab had his 400. But Jehoshaphat said, but is there not? He said, yeah, there's another man. There's just one man, but I hate him. He'll be hated. Is that the reason why? Is that why when God's looking for a man? Is that why that you ain't that man? Because the world will hate you? I went to preach in a camp meeting somewhere in the United States of America. My friend said to me, he said, son, you'll be going in there all alone. He said, they'll be your friend and tell you. I said, you know me? I ain't got no friends. When it comes time to walk in that pulpit. He said, you'll be all alone. I said, no, I won't.
Standing at my right hand, amen, is my elder brother. Why then can't I be that man? Is it because that life has become so easy, so soft, that we don't want to work or sacrifice? One fellow called me and said, I want your a blessing. I'm going to start a church. And I said, well, I said, just one qualification. What's that? I said, no fishing in anybody else's pond. I said, the sea's full of fish. You go fish in the sea. But if you're figuring on moving a church in there and sucking up all the disgruntles from all of us, I said, understand right now, I am going to do everything I can to see you fall. That's right. There's places that don't have a holiness church. Why don't you be the preacher that goes there? We got a whole bunch of folks just waiting around for us to die. And if we just if they see any weakness, they're like sharks. But I'm wondering, are we wanting something for nothing? Do we want that easy part of life? Jowett said that when a church ceases to bleed, it stops blessing. Preacher, let's pray until they see his nail-scarred hand and our hand. Leave me alone, he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, church, I believe in revival. You know I do. And I want you to know tonight that there's a message out there that ain't never been preached. Why don't you make your mind up? By the grace of God, I'm going to preach it. There's a song out there that's never been sung, waiting to move the world. Why don't you take that song and sing it? There's a prayer that God's just waiting to hear somebody pray. Why don't you be the man that prays it? There's a storehouse of power and anointing that nobody even touched yet. Why don't you be the man that finds it and comes back off the desert and says, here am I, Lord. Send me. Lord, it doesn't matter. Fame or fortune or anything else. Church, come on now. You know that I'm telling you the truth. You know that if we're going to stop the tide until your grandchildren knows what holiness is, we're going to have revival. And we're going to have it right now. And so right this first night of this meeting, I challenge you. I challenge every one of us to dare to come down on an altar and look up like Isaiah did and say, Lord, if I qualify, here am I. Use me. Use me. A friend called me today, Brother Alvin, and he told me, he said, man, I've looked at your itinerary. He said, you're getting older. He said, I don't want to put this on you if you don't want to come. And I said, brother, I promise myself every year I'm going to back it down. But I hear the ringing of the hammer. I hear the marching of the band. I hear him saying, you're responsible. Reach out and get a hold of them. Amen. So I'm going to tell you tonight, church, we can start right now on this Monday night. Amen. In this revival meeting, this camp meeting right here. Amen. As we come together, we can start right now. Is that young man right here tonight? Amen. Is that young man who just fell in love with his Bible, who just feels like he's called to preach and ashamed hearted to say it? Is he sitting here tonight somewhere that God could build a fire in him and put art in his soul and he raise up and shake this generation? Is there a Spurgeon hid right here among us tonight somewhere? Amen. Just waiting to step out and say, come on. Oh, God said, I didn't find a man then. But if he comes among us tonight, will he find somebody that knows how to pray? Will he find somebody here tonight? And say, God, I don't want to just be a drone. I don't want to just be a drag. I want to do something for you. The time is short. A little space of light and darkness comes when no man can work. But in that space of light, I want revival. And so on this first night of this camp meeting, I challenge each and every one of you. I challenge you to dare to pray again like you used to. How long's it been, Mama? Amen. Since you've woke up the household at 4 o'clock in the morning, a calling on God. How long's it been, sir? Amen. Once you went out somewhere, they couldn't find you. Amen. Brother Brent, I speak as a fool. When I first got my call into the ministry, I'd take my old shotgun and go to the woods. And I'd get out there sitting down waiting for the squirrels to come into that old hickory tree. And I'd get to thinking about God. And I'd just lay the old shotgun down. And I'd go to praying. And a calling on God. And I'd tell the squirrels, eat all you want today. Amen. I'm a talking to somebody else. Oh, God, give me a hunger. God, I told Ann the other night, I said, baby, I want to check out what I checked in with. Amen. I don't want to. If I had it then, I want to have it when he comes back. Amen. I told my friend today when he was talking about that, I said, sir, I'd rather wear out preaching the gospel as rust out somewhere. Amen. On a beach chair. Amen. Or on a cruise somewhere. Amen. I will let me die in the harness. Amen. God, there is a man here in my Lord. Send me.
Do you love him enough? To say, Lord, whatever it takes, wherever it takes me, I'm going to follow you. I'll do what you want me to do. God, make me that hard-headed preacher and give me that message to this hard-hearted air till we break through and have revival. Amen. I throw a challenge out to you tonight. In a moment here, we're going to open up this altar and we're going to have a general altar call. Amen. And I don't care if you've been saved 6 weeks, 6 months, or 60 years. Why don't you say, God, instead of retiring, I want to refar. I want to do more than I ever have done. I want to get back in the book again. Amen. Lord, I think I've done my best tonight to do what you told me to do. Holy Ghost, I can feel you right now wanting to do something in this place. Let the canopy of your glory drop around us until every diverting spirit is conquered, till every hindering force is pushed back, till every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place can sense the Holy Ghost has come here to do business with them tonight. And Lord God, when we open these altars, let us come here tonight forgetting about everything else but touching you and touching heaven. Lord, let us find that place, that break in the wall, that breach, and stand in it and say, Lord, here I stand. God, help me. I can do no other. Amen. Would you stand with me all over this place tonight? And would you make your way down to these altars and let's meet together here. Let's seek the face of God. There's room for you. Come on. There's room for you at these altars. Yes. God, I want to be whatever you'd have me to be. I want to do whatever you'd have me to do. Here am I, Lord. Send me.